Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
Sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
NBC Sports Boston is in studio with us.
Hi, Phil.
On this Friday.
What's up, boys?
Do we have a winner for the Stop and Shop? Can people stop calling?
Yes, people can stop calling. I appreciate your efforts to call in for that $100 gift card. We've already given it away. The winner told Tom on the phone, Sarge sucks. Again, I don't even mind that. That's off the air. That's what Tom said.
That's not why he won, right? That's not why.
No.
They just slid that in there.
Why he won was because he was the correct caller. But he took his opportunity to express his thoughts on Mike Sarge Riley. It's getting out of control now. It's out of control.
Enjoy it while it lasts, I would say. Because this can't go forever, can it?
I don't know,
it?
Phil. I got a bad feeling that this is about to get bigger than it ever was.
I don't think it ends, Phil.
Got a bad feeling about that. Phil, what's going on?
Let's ride the wave.
You excited about having no game this weekend, like the rest of the football media?
Yeah, I think it's just like the football team. Good to get a little bit of rest.
But
you guys must be psyched. You guys have long days on those Sundays.
I am thrilled. It'll be good to get back. Next week, everybody will be ready for it again, right? Rejuvenated.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the Patriots are doing and should be doing right now during the bye to get ready for the rest of the schedule?
There's a lot. Offense, defense, special teams. I'm working on a story that hopefully will be on the site a little later today after going through a lot of numbers, some film, but also just talking to people about what the Patriots feel like they need to focus on. And the reason I kind of started attacking it in the first place is because I asked Belichick, listen, you played 10 games. You played 10 games. There's a lot of information that you have on yourselves, on what teams are trying to do to you. So how do you prioritize that stuff? 1A, 2, 3, all the way down. And he said, it's pretty clear what teams are trying to do to us. So those priorities are pretty obvious to us.
Yeah, I thought the comments after the game where, you know, they really didn't show us anything new. It's not like they caught us sleeping. It's just we couldn't deal with it. And that tells me it's a problem up front.
So I think they do have a little bit of an issue in terms of being overwhelmed by numbers. And so I know you guys have mentioned, at least in passing, the Brady against the blitz numbers. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about it this week, and I asked Brady about it the other day. And he had that answer, well, anytime you're last in the league in anything, in this case it's quarterback rating against the blitz defined by ESPN, which is five or more rushers at a time. Anytime you're last in anything, it's not good. But I don't know. Have you guys touched on the Pro Football Focus blitz
numbers?
Yeah,
we have. We've actually talked on
and the discrepancy there.
The discrepancy before between four different stat services. So the NFL matchup, the 59.6, is an NFL in-house stat, right?
Yes.
59.6. Pro Football Focus has it at 96.8.
It's a massive discrepancy.
Stats Inc. has it at 98.4. And when you talk, like, if you were to ask the average sports fan, name one of the stats services, right? They're all going to name stats.
It's one of the best, and it's great. They do a great job.
It's mentioned in almost every broadcast ever. They've been one of the, I guess
they're one of the trailblazers in that industry.
Sort of like an institution of sports statistics.
Sure.
They've been around forever. They've got it at 98.4. Pro Football Focus, which is a football centric stat and rankings rating service, they've got it at 96.8. Sports Radar, which I am not familiar with, has it at 92.2. So the one that doesn't match, and by the way, great work by Evan Lazar to dig up all these numbers for everybody. The one that doesn't match up is this NFL one of 59.6.
So I can tell you, based on talking to people associated with two of those entities, NFL Matchup and Pro Football Focus, that the definitions are very different for the blitz. So for NFL Matchup, the one that has Brady's quarterback rating at sub 60.
Right, it's five or more, right?
Is any time a defense rushes five or more players. So that could be five defensive linemen. It could be a 3-4 kind of front where both outside linebackers come. That to them is a blitz. Pro Football Focus, on the other hand, has for years now defined the blitz as any time a defense brings an unexpected rusher. Now, that could be five as well. So that could be your four down linemen and one off-the-ball linebacker. That's a blitz for Pro Football Focus. For Pro Football Focus, a blitz is also, Zoe.
That's not a blitz to me.
It's, well, that's a pressure, right?
That's pressure.
A blitz is actually six, but that's real football talk. That's like Gerard Mayo will tell you that. A blitz isn't five, man. A blitz is six or more.
It's the twisting of the games that complicate things, well, and the moving around of people.
Just to finish with Pro Football Focus, they can count a four-man rush as a blitz. It's crazy. That will sound crazy in terms of the numbers to the real football people, but the way they describe it is anytime there's an unexpected rusher. So if you do what the Titans did at times the other day, which is you have four down linemen, you rush three of those guys,
and then you
drop one,
fourth,
and then you bring a corner or you bring a linebacker off the ball, that to Pro Football Focus is a blitz. So that's where you get the massive, massive discrepancy. And I would say for Pro Football Focus, and I assume these other stat entities,
yeah,
that have him rated very high, they count it similarly. And the only reason there's a little bit of a difference is because certain play action plays, there are linebackers that are rushing to the line of scrimmage because they're kind of playing the run. So is he actually a rusher or not?
Well,
it's hard to tell.
Look at the three losses. So you go back and you look at Jacksonville. And Jacksonville does a lot of blitz zone stuff with the front, but their linebackers are so athletic. Then you go to Detroit. I remember Detroit doing that where you walk up and then you drop. And it's the confusion, not of Brady. It's the confusion of a bad call up front or a tag call.
It's the line. It's right.
And I heard this from multiple people that Tennessee had all their calls. So that's homework. That's Vrabel scouring tape. That's Vrabel and his staff or scouting staff getting a hold of TV copy saying, holy crap, we could hear the calls here. Patriots used to do it. Used to do it with Jason Taylor all the time. They did the same thing with Miami. Miami and Jason Taylor would always scout that, and they would sit there and watch TV tape as opposed to the high 22 because you could pick up on all the verbiage.
Well, and the Titans have Deion Lewis. They have Josh Klein.
Yeah.
They have guys that have been in that system that understand the protections, especially, you know, you may not think about it this way, but somebody like Deion Lewis,
yeah,
he understands all those adjustments because he
blitz
had
pickups,
to because he's in blitz pickup.
Brady's calls. You know, his
and what the offensive
lanes.
Line is doing and how they're going to react to a certain look. So, and I actually had gotten indications similar to the ones you got, Zoe, which is they knew what we were calling up front.
Which is amazing.
And
how did that happen?
Kind of shrug your shoulders.
You get beat at your own game.
How did that happen?
You get beat at your own scouting.
You had some inside info.
Inside info.
From, again, Josh Klein's on the interior of that line for the Titans, has been for a few years now, but he knew everything the Patriots were doing. Now, these are years-old calls.
So, it's hard to
change.
And
the Patriots do mix them up occasionally from what I understand, but it's hard to do a complete overhaul.
No, but you're basically trying to figure out what may be called something different, and all of a sudden, by the time you get into the second quarter, you've got a feel for what is what.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, it makes you change the protection. Say, and to make sense here, say you go up in at 60 protection. There's a certain different set of calls that David Andrews is going to tag out once Mike's dictated. Now, all of a sudden, if they have your calls.
60 meaning six blockers,
do,
right, though?
Yeah. And here's what we can't do now, guys. Since we can't go 60 protection anymore because they have all of our calls. Now, all of a sudden, same formation, we're going to go 70 protection. You're not going to make any calls. So it's about, okay, which way are you sliding? Who's the unprotected guy? That's the way you get confused. Last thing you could do during a game is change your calls. Because you're thinking, well, wait a minute. Roger's not Roger anymore?
Now right. In-game, it's got to be really hard. It's got to be impossible.
You can't ask linemen to do that. I'm sorry.
I just want the last thing on the discrepancy between the stats and what it tells me. So the bad number is when teams are bringing five or more, period. It's not about the disguising. So the Pro Football Focus number would tell you that even when teams are bringing unexpected rushers, Brady and the offensive line are doing a relatively good job of picking that up and making them hurt. It's when they bring five or more, which, and Zoe just hit on it a little bit, when you're trying to max out your protection, you're trying to fan out and account for all five of those guys or more. you're getting a lot of one-on-one blocks. And so whether that's up front or it's getting guys on the running back, which has happened at times and has caused the Patriots problems, even though somebody like James White is pretty good at it. James White's been beaten this year. James Devlin has been beaten in pass protection this year. Dwayne Allen has been beaten in pass protection this year. So anytime you have five or more blockers that have to handle somebody one-on-one, the Patriots have had their issues.
So hold that thought. We're going to pick that up on the other side as we continue to talk about this with Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston. The Raptors are in town to take on the Celtics tonight. Raptors 12-3, first in the Atlantic Division. We've got some info on that game right here in the Action Update.
Now, a look at the numbers with the Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
They are the two plus 175 co-favorites to win the Eastern Conference in the NBA. Tonight, despite their 8-6 start, the Celtics are 1.5 home favorites against 12-3 Toronto. The over-under is 215. Colleges. Harvard is a 4-point underdog at Rhode Island. UMass is a 15.5-point favorite hosting Howard. UMass Lowell is getting 7.5 at Brown. The Bruins tonight are 20-cent favorites visiting Dallas. The over is juiced 25 cents on the 5.5 goal total. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, Zoe had a thought that he was going to give Phil Perry on this pressure that Tom Brady has faced and the blitz numbers, five rushers, four rushers with an unexpected pass rusher, three with an unexpected.
I sort of got, I forgot.
All the different.
I had something to add to Phil.
Is this stuff interesting to you guys?
It is.
Okay.
It is, because
it's hard to know.
I lived it.
I know,
I think it's the thing that is impacting the offense. And I think part of it is.
Here's what I had.
And going back, and by the way, I watched this game again a couple nights ago. And the thing that I think maybe we didn't fully realize on Sunday, and I know there's been some back and forth on this, you know, did Brady have guys open or did he not? There were a lot of plays where he didn't have anyone to throw to, that someone couldn't break free.
This
someone
myth
couldn't
that
get open.
There are guys open everywhere is ridiculous.
Someone
I'm tired of hearing it.
Couldn't get open fast enough.
Yeah.
I think there were a couple of plays, and he's admitted it. And I was saying earlier in the week, yeah, it sounds like from those who were there, you know, whether it be, you know, Jim Murray or whoever it was covering the team on Twitter, it's like, I'm not seeing it on TV, but they're saying guys are open there. And then Brady says on Monday morning, yeah, you know, I missed Hogan on one. There's that one play circulating that Brady didn't ever look Hogan's way.
Actually, yeah, I would have actually thrown to James White instead of Hogan on it.
Wheel route might have been a touchdown on that play.
Yeah.
Hogan's too.
I feel like guys were a lot more covered than maybe I thought based on sort of the discussion around the game on Sunday. Guys were covered.
One thing about Deion Lewis, that and this is the thought I had to add to what Phil was talking about. Deion's blitz pickup ability and to get stout in the hole and to lower his center of gravity for his size last year was so underrated and undervalued. He was really good at blitz pickup. He was good at cutting guys down and stepping up in the hole and stopping that. So there's another guy. You mentioned Josh Klein as far as the line calls. So if Tom's in the gun and he's got James on one side or the other, or say it's somebody else, or whether it's not really Cordero Patterson, it's another. We'll say it was going to be
Michelle,
Barner,
maybe,
but it's not Barner.
Yeah,
Michelle. Deion knows all the calls. The Brady audible, meaning, okay, you're offset to the left. Here we go. Let's go. Move right. He takes and moves him here. Let's go, Ricky, and he's already got the mic here. But Ricky's a free release to one side. Now you got to change that. So Deion gave him all that. So they're calling out the play before it's there.
I think there was a lot of frustration during and after the game that there was some familiarity with what they were trying to do up front. I do want to say, in terms of the rating, obviously interceptions kill your rating. Three of Brady's seven interceptions have come on plays where defenses have rushed five or more. But they're not necessarily, in my opinion, all Brady mistake type of throws.
Right.
One of them James White basically got beat clean against the Bears. Now, not a good throw to James Devlin in the flat.
Oh, that's the one that kills me. That is the worst throw of the year, the one to Devlin out in the flat.
But he had a body on top of him.
Yeah.
And so not a good decision maybe to throw it, period.
That's why he's...
But there's somebody all over him.
So that...
Tooney lost a block, again, a one-on-one block, five-man pressure, one-on-one.
So go back to what Brady's sensing and what he's been feeling, say, starting in Chicago, then fast forward to the Tennessee game. Why is he bailing out quickly and chucking it in the dirt and doing the throwaways? Because I'm not going to make the same mistake of taking the hit, getting a hit on me, and me chucking it out into the flat where it's going to get deflected and picked off. Let's take the safe throw. Let's huddle up and play again.
Now, teams have not been sending five or more at the Patriots all that often. The Patriots see less pressure, period. So the line has done a relatively good job this year. They've seen less pressure, period, than all but four teams. This is according to NFL matchup stats again. They see four or fewer rushers more than any team in the league. So teams do not want to bring five against Brady, but when they do bring five or more against Brady, they have success. So I wonder if they start to see, I wonder if the later in the season we get, we start to see more because teams say, well, they're actually having some issues when defenses bring five, six, whatever, seven, maybe even occasionally. They're having some success there. So we know Tom Brady's Tom Brady, and we know he typically kills the blitz, but other teams are doing it, and they're not doing it a ton, but when they do, they're having some success, so maybe we should try it more, too.
So you're saying it could get worse?
Well, or if the Patriots handle it a little bit better, you could all of a sudden see Brady's rating go way, way up, because the sample size relative to the rest of the league, quarterbacks around the league, has been relatively small.
How much more complicated is this going to be if Edelman misses any time?
Extremely.
Yeah.
I mean, he is. That's one of my big fears. Who is he looking at in those situations?
The health of Edelman is one of, I think, the underrated things that happened on Sunday that I don't think anyone's taken all that seriously.
Well, he's been dealing with that for a while. He's been dealing with the ankle for a little bit.
So that's not new.
I don't know if that was a totally new injury. He had been listed on the injury report with an ankle, so that's not breaking news.
But it's
he
not
came off
minor.
He came off the injury report the week leading up to the Titans game, and then he suffered an ankle injury against the Titans. Now, is it a completely different injury? I don't think so.
Listed his ankle. Some people get listed as ankle. Maybe it's not their ankle.
Yeah, you know, Rob Gronkowski, is it truly his ankle? You know, Julian Edelman, is it truly his ankle?
Well, ankle's connected to the back.
Yeah, so I'm saying, I mean, there's a lot there. Ankle, what part of the ankle?
High ankle.
Hoof. Paw. Paw is what the ball. So I just think that's a big factor in this, too, because when you look at Sunday and even Edelman himself, you're like, yeah, he doesn't maybe get as open as fast as he used to, right? Go up against a defense with a little bit of speed, it becomes a lot more difficult.
He's been good, though, man. Even though he's played through the injury, he's been good.
I agree with
that. He's probably their best player the last month or so.
I thought he had a good game on Sunday, but Zoe has always said, and he's maintained this for a very long time, Edelman is the guy that makes it go.
He's the cog. Gronkowski's the Ferrari. This guy's your workhorse.
If you're going to have one guy the rest of the way,
Edelman.
Right?
Edelman.
You're going to pick Edelman now. You're not going to take Gronkowski.
Edelman.
You're going to take Edelman being in health.
But as far as the open receivers go, and I understand like the Hogan one, sometimes it's obvious, right? You can just see it. But and I'm not saying you can't question Tom Brady. Of course you can. That's what we do all the time. But there are a lot of throws he makes to guys who do not look open to my eyes. That guy is not open, and he threads a pass in there. So there are times when, just in my own head, I have to default back to, okay, maybe that guy seems open to me, but there's something about it. And Zoe has brought it up a number of times. Why don't you make that throw? Look at that safety right there. As open as that guy looks, that's a pass that gets picked off, especially for Brady to make that throw. He knows his own limitations, especially if it's across the field. If he somehow finds himself like on the right side of the pocket and he has to throw back left and there's something he doesn't like. So there are times when I question the openness of these other receivers that I think I see or other people say they see. It's like they're not as open as you think they are, just like the other passes that Brady completes are to guys who appear to be covered. Well, it turns out, lo and behold, they weren't. Right.
But part of the greatness of Brady over the years has been the ability to put the ball in tight spaces and throw to guys who are not necessarily open, and all of a sudden they're open because they can make the catch in tight spaces, in coverage, because Brady's so good.
Yeah, and I don't see any.
I wonder how good he's been on that, you know, front this year.
So I thought his feet weren't great this week. That's, you know, the footwork for him. And I think, you know, when you work with guys like Tom House and company, you have all these thrown coaches and it's mechanics. And you go back to Tom versus time. And say, oh, this one felt good. That one's money right there. He knows when he's in rhythm. But all year, when he's in the pocket and he's got room and he could step and slide up, cash money.
I think
there's no issues with
one. One of the other issues that I'm going to highlight in this piece, aside from dealing with being overloaded at the line of scrimmage with rushers, is third down passing, and it's in particular it's third and short passing. The Patriots are 34% successful on their third downs throwing the football this year. That's not great. That's 20th in the league. Third and short. So for me, that was third and three or less. When they throw in those situations, they're 41% successful, which is 28th in the league. Third and short. That's a gotta have it. That's a short throw usually. That's where Tom Brady makes his money. Tom Brady is Tom Brady, not because he's lighting it up down the field, not because he's throwing off of different platforms. He's making amazingly accurate throws on the move. He makes every throw he should make. That is in some ways the genius of Tom Brady. And this year, it has felt like it's a little bit different, and the numbers, I think, have shown that too. So third and short passing. That should be you're 28th in the league. You should be top 10. You should be maybe top 5 if you have Tom Brady as your quarterback. It's third and short. It has nothing to do with arm strength. It's all about quick decision making, guys getting open early. This is what the Patriots offense is. And they haven't been great in that scenario this year. 28th in football, third and short passing.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston is with us on Zolak and Bertrand. Coming up next, some sound that is just sort of hitting the sports media at this hour. That is the press conference that happened in Detroit today with Matt Patricia having his coach's normal Friday press conference. There's been some criticism there of him having practice in the snow, given that the Lions are going to play indoors for the next month.
Oh, we were cold outside.
Well, why would you practice outside if you're going to play your games inside for
maybe
the next
he thinks
month?
His team's soft.
Well, he explains.
I guess
Hardy,
they're just killing people,
he
right?
explains, and you know what I think his biggest problem is that he's hearing his critics and is feeling the need to respond to them. And it was sort of an ugly scene there in Detroit today. You'll hear from Matt Patricia coming up next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Hope everybody was sitting up nice and straight at that press conference. Bruins and Celtics both playing tonight. Celtics tip off 7 o'clock against the Raptors at the TD Garden. Raptors 12-3 on the year, but have just suffered back-to-back losses to the Pistons and Pelicans.
Manny, look at the Pelican player.
Yeah, we're not doing that again. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell, the call on 105.7 WROR. Pre-game at 6:30. As I said, on 105.7 WROR. Bruins in Dallas, they play the Stars. Tonight at 8 o'clock, Judd Sirott, Bob Beers at the pregame at 7:30 on the Bruins Radio Network. Driven by the award-winning Honda Accord, Zdeno Chara was sent back to Boston after he suffered a lower body injury against the Colorado Avalanche. Seahawks over the Packers last night, 27-24. Patriots getting some days off during the bye week. And Revolution defender Chris Tierney announced his retirement from professional soccer. It's the longest tenured outfield player in Revolution history. 11 seasons under his belt.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. We'll get to your calls in a little bit. But first, we want to go to Detroit, where today Matt Patricia, head coach of the Lions,
oh, good.
Opened his press conference, spending 4.5 to 5 minutes discussing with a prepared statement in hand. Prepared
no.
statement
no.
in hand.
I love this guy.
The reasons why his team practiced in the snow this week. Despite their next four games being indoors, they will play the next four games for the another month of football indoors between playing in their own home building at Ford Field indoors.
I think they have three home games in a row coming up.
And they also will go on the road and play in a dome. So Matt Patricia has heard the criticism, apparently. He has been reading the press clippings, probably listening to sports radio out there. They're criticizing the team. They're asking the questions. Why is Matt Patricia doing this? What is this guy's deal? And today he came with his prepared statement to answer the questions. This is a lot of sound, so we'll do our best to not interrupt.
In regards to practice, a couple comments I just want to make on this topic and provide some maybe insight and let's call it closure to this continual conversation that we have here as far as our training. First, you know, we'll always practice in practice and train in a manner that looks out for our players' ability to prepare each week for our opponent while also taking care of including all parameters to the overall health and safety of our team. Indoor walkthroughs, which we had this week, which we've also had in the past, are always beneficial to our team. It's beneficial to our players. It's a great teaching and learning environment. It's an opportunity for us to pull off them physically, the demands of practice and the overall hustle and pursuit of what we have to do during the course of a practice and our movements. It also gives a little bit of extra rest to most of the players out there on the turf. It also, though, allows some of the players that might not be able to practice out there in a normal practice environment to go out and get reps and get communication and get prepared for the game.
Okay, to this point, any issues?
No.
Other than he sounds ridiculous reading this from a statement.
You're trying to up and describe the intensity of a walkthrough, which doesn't exist.
The beginning was a little rude.
Rude?
In regards to practice, a couple comments I just want to make on this topic and provide
that sounds similar
insight.
To the tone.
Let's call it closure to this continual conversation
It's called closure. What?
Hopefully provide some closure so, you know, we don't have to talk about this again. So, all right, we're gonna practice in a manner that's gonna prepare us for our next opponent. Of course you are. We're gonna have walkthroughs to get guys out there who can't practice at a full level. Good.
So they can see.
Fine.
They
indoor.
Can watch.
Indoor walkthroughs.
I don't know why you're telling us all this so far, Matt, but go ahead.
Where do we get to the snow? Where do we get to the snow?
Tell me a little bit more.
There's a butt coming.
The downside of practicing indoors on the turf is the wear and effect that it has on the bigger bodied players on our team. Standing on turf or running on turf oftentimes for extended periods of time affects joints, it affects swelling, and it really causes the body and the different members of our team to have pain or joint swelling that then will, you know, cause them further delay of preparing, all right, for playing in the game.
Okay. What I tell you about Gronkowski traveling on a plane twice in one day.
Yeah.
And standing for 4 hours on the sideline.
You're not defending this.
I'm not defending it. Please. I'm telling you that, like, that's to my point. Like, if it's his back, you ain't doing that.
Okay.
Okay.
But this
ain't his back.
This makes sense now because everyone knows that snow is like going in a bouncy house. It's cushiony. It's like going out there and playing on a field with pillows. The ground underneath, also very soft. If there's snow on top of it, that tells you that the ground underneath has been insulated, squishy. It's not. It's never frozen.
Can I tell you the only
thing? It's not a hard frozen ground with a layer of snow on top. No, it's like practicing on a queen-size mattress, just bouncing around all over the place. It's wonderful.
My issue with this decision to go out and practice in the snow is not in the decision to go practice outside in the snow. It's this made up baloney about why it is you're out there and not on the turf.
It's because you know softer, Beetle.
You know what you'd say?
Grass.
You know what you'd say? Because if you can practice in the snow, you could play well in a dome. We're going to toughen up our team. We're going to go outside and practice in the elements the way football is played in the month of January in the playoffs, which is where we want to someday be. So shut up. That's what a good head coach would do. This guy's not capable of it. You question Bill Belichick, he wouldn't even give you an answer. This guy's going to give you a written report on
sports
joints and sports science.
He's opening the book here.
Bigger-bodied players. Do you have any confidence in this decision that you made practice outside? How about you just say, why does it matter? We're going to practice outside. Yeah, it sucks to be out there sometimes. It's going to toughen up our team. We're going to deal with some mental issues out there that we're going to try and overcome and be a mentally tough team. End of story. Shut your mouths. Move on.
Can I just say,
the outside has multiple benefits, provides different elements for us to prepare in, work through, in the grand overall preparation.
You sound like John Farrell. You're starting to sound like John Farrell.
For us to go outside, be able to practice and work on our fundamentals from a standpoint that we wanted to practice in pads. Practicing in pads on turf is a little bit of an extra risk in my mind in some of those situations where feet or footwork might be stuck in the turf in different situations, whereas the grass or the natural ground has a little bit more.
He's not a head coach.
Beetle.
He's not a head
can
coach.
Can I just say something, please?
Head coach material.
This is what head coaches around the league would say if they were as open talking about their sports science findings as Matt Patricia is right now.
He sounds ridiculous. Coaches hate turf.
Players hate turf. So every single time you ask Tom Brady about what you...
Just say you hate turf. Say we hate turf.
But it's because there are numbers somewhere, and I haven't seen them and I don't know them. But there are numbers somewhere that are telling coaches that you're more likely to get injured on turf than you are on
grass. Yeah, I believe that.
So that's what he's saying.
Okay. Say, hey.
I think that's kind of what he's saying.
Turf sucks. We try to not be on the turf. We try to be on natural grass when we can. The snow is not going to get in the way of us practicing outdoors on the grass.
Going outside yesterday allowed us to also have the opportunity to focus on our fundamentals.
Okay, I get what you're saying. You want a little bit more efficient statement. Which
this
I think
is absurd.
He makes himself look like a clown. But I'm just saying, I thought you had an issue with the reasoning. I have no issue with this.
I just said I let off by saying I have no issue with him practicing outside. My issue is this thing he's doing.
He's too sensitive about it. And what he's doing is he's trying
to give you a sack, Maddie.
He's going to sit there and go, I'm going to overload these mother bleepers with so much information on the practice. You want to ask me one more time about where we're practicing? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 57 different reasons why we go in or out.
Well,
and this is how he gets back. This goes back to the Tom Curran stuff, too. Remember when you're allowed to talk to the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinators, and Tom asked him a question?
Every week. I think it was over the phone.
Jim, do you have that
conference
one?
Call.
But it allows him also, the next time somebody asks about practice, he can say, guys, I talked about this literally for 5 minutes straight a couple of weeks ago. I think we've
talked
enough
about practice.
He's doing
it for a reason. Yeah. He's not serious.
Most of the skilled players have to keep their feet underneath them, be able to break with low center of gravity, and play technically sound, which is always good from a fundamental standpoint.
It's
a good opportunity to get that done.
No, I don't think he is.
Yesterday was not a factor. It was not cold outside, and there was not a heavy wind. So it was an easy day for us to go outside and get some good work done.
That's his way of effing with you, man.
How much longer does this go?
About a minute and a half.
Another minute and a half. I want to hear it now.
He's doing this on purpose, so you never ask a question about it again, because I'm going to go on a diet.
The wind chill factor was not such that
wind
we
velocity,
made the determination.
Barometric pressure was out of the southeast.
He's not a head coach.
He's kind of a higher pitched Jaffe. Listen to him. T-Bone picked it out. Listen to him. He's talking about the wind chill.
Focus is most of the skilled players have to keep their feet underneath them, be able to break with low center of gravity, and play technically sound, which is always good from a fundamental standpoint.
What the hell is that? You're 3-6. Just say you're practicing outdoors because you like grass and be done with it.
Makes me sad.
Focus on the important stuff. This man wrote a statement today on that. Because he's feeling the heat from what? The fans? The sports media there? This is a recipe for disaster. Detroit got it wrong again. Detroit got it wrong again, Hardy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to tell you that.
No, the good news is nobody will be watching that Thanksgiving game on Thursday. Nobody watches the line. Oh, everybody watches the Lions on Thanksgiving. It's the one time guaranteed every year you can count on that team being watched, and they're going to be watched on Thanksgiving. And
play the Bears. Early game.
How long before he's back in Foxborough?
You like your chances against?
I do.
When does he come back? Thanksgiving's their day. Is this why they didn't name a defensive coordinator? Because they're expecting to get theirs back in the next year or two? Is that what that is? Is that what they're doing?
I don't think so.
I
think he's going to be there for a while. Lions have a history of really holding on to these guys and letting them roll.
Good luck to the Lions.
Right, Hardy?
Good luck.
Modern day Wayne Fultz.
Wow. That is a ridiculous, ridiculous press conference that went on there today. 617-779-0985.
Their day, all time, they are 36-38-2 on Thanksgiving.
That's good for them.
They're below 500.
That's good for them.
You know what that is?
I thought you said
they were 38-36-2.
36-38.
Oh, other way around.
Two. Yeah.
Okay, not bad.
Flip that.
Whoops.
Yep.
Got a couple of ties in there, though. Good for you. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Last Friday, we practiced inside. We played outside. Miami week, we practiced outside in the quote-unquote cold, but we played in 112 field temperature game. Again, it's about the preparation. It's about how we practice. It's about our execution. And then it's about how we perform on Sunday. That's all that really matters. So that's just all we're trying to do. There's no more discussion. There's no more conversation about it. I'd like to move on and show a little bit more respect to Carolina, the Panthers, Coach Ron Rivera, his outstanding team that he's bringing up here to play against us and the challenges that we have, in fact, trying to stop and prepare for them. We're going to be practicing inside today, just so everybody's clear, all right? Make sure everybody's good with all the head coaches in the room on that. Everybody good there? So, again, there's some wind out there, some gusts. Probably a good idea to practice inside and make sure we have some good timing. It's all based on what's best for the team at that moment. We good? Great. You got any questions about Carolina?
Still think he's serious?
Yes, I do.
I do.
I absolutely
actually,
do.
That last piece makes me feel like he's more serious than ever.
I think he's absolutely serious.
All the head coaches
he's sensitive
in the room.
To whatever people have said in Detroit over the last couple of days. He's not happy about it.
Yeah, he is sensitive.
And you know what else I sense there? He's trying to be Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
That's who he's trying to be. He's trying to be just like Bill.
Well, but Bill doesn't do that. Bill's not going to
No, but that's how he thinks he's going to be like
Bill.
He's
trying
to be
Cleveland Browns Bill. What we're doing. And I'm going to...
Yeah, he is.
Well, so here's the thing.
Browns Bill right now.
Here's the thing about Matt Patricia and trying to be Bill Belichick and learning everything you know from Bill Belichick as being a head coach. There is no reference point for what Bill Belichick does when his team is 3-6, other than in Cleveland. You know what I mean? Like, for as long as Matt Patricia was in New England, there was no, how does Bill deal with the media at 3-6? It never happened. So he doesn't know.
Matt Patricia has never been in an NFL program that's had a bad losing record like this. He's never experienced this.
So there's nothing to fall back on in terms of, okay, this is how Bill handled it here. This is how we handled it here as Patriots. This is uncharted territory. And it
well,
doesn't feel like it's
I don't
going
know
great.
About you. I think he's reacting well to it. I think he's handling it very well right now. I think
he doesn't seem to be cracking.
No, not at all.
Nothing to indicate that he's losing his marbles.
Do we have a look ahead line on the Thanksgiving Day game yet? Can we maybe? You know what? Let's ask RJ about that today. If he's got a look ahead line on the Thanksgiving Day matchup.
See if there's any trends on Thanksgiving. If home teams do better or visitors or something.
Because
anything.
We won't be talking to him until after Thanksgiving. So this is our last chat with RJ.
Sure.
Today.
True.
Right. We'll ask him about that. I want to take a couple calls here, Phil, before let you go.
Of course.
Mike in Framingham has been hanging on. He's waited patiently. Thank you, Mike. What do you got?
Hey, I was talking about the blitzes early with the numbers. I agree with that. The one that said unexpected people coming in, because what if a slot corner blitzes in, the defensive end drops back into the flat to take out the hot read? There's four guys still going in, you still consider that a blitz.
Right, so that's what Pro Football Focus would consider a blitz. That's an NFL. I know, Zoe. I agree with you, but this is, I'm just how they define it.
Yeah.
That is what he described would be a blitz according to Pro Football Focus. It would not be a blitz according to NFL Matchup.
I feel like these are all good ways of breaking down, you know, numbers. I feel like they should just be separated into different categories and called something different. Like with unexpected pressure, I'd like to just see it broken down. Five rushers, six rushers, you know,
sure.
Unexpected pressure. Like there are three separate categories there that I would be interested in knowing more about. You know, three man rush, four man rush, go all the way down the line.
And you know they have those numbers. Like the Patriots have those.
Yeah, I
breakdowns.
Just wish they were easily accessible.
They're not, and it's because it is
well,
tough to break them
pay
down.
For it.
It is tough to break them down. No, but I don't even know if these places break them down in terms of that specifically. You know. Just when you're getting a rusher from the second level, just when it's an unexpected, just when it's three man, but you get one unexpected, just when it's four man, but
wouldn't
one
that be great if we could access all that?
It's somewhere out there.
I hope it is. I hope someday we all can have that.
Got any hackers on the staff here?
Yeah, any hackers want to break into a scouting system like what was that, the Astros and St. Louis Cardinals? Paulie in the truck. Paulie.
Hey, I'm going to try to pick it up from yesterday, boys. Sorry about that. I was right in the middle of a job, literally. I had to drop everything. Pick up the phone, take it off speaker, and I forgot everything I was going to say. Sorry about that. First thing, who cares?
Apology
that
accepted.
Was a waste of a segment. Who cares about what's going on in Detroit besides Hottie?
Sorry, we
what do you want to program the show now?
Paulie, you don't want to keep an eye on that?
All right, number two. Zolak should be at Splitsville with the bye on Sunday so I can come down and we can hang out like the old days. Number three.
That'll happen.
The Pittsburgh. Good point. I just picked up. I'm meeting the girl and picked up the schedule. I almost fainted.
I will be there at 11:30. I got to do TV. If you want to come down and hang out, I'm there from 11:30 to 12.
Gazelle's got to be there.
I'm leaving at 12.
Yeah, Pittsburgh schedule picked up the Globe, and I was reading about an hour ago, and I nearly fainted when I saw their schedule. My God, they got them. I'm not a fan. They'd be giving me resuscitation right now. They got to go to Jacksonville, Denver, and I know Denver's not good, but that's always a house of horrors, and New Orleans. And they got San Diego, the Pats, and Cincinnati coming in. That is not an easy schedule. And Tom Brady's going to change his training regimen. Unless you don't have a pair of eyes, I realize what's going on. I mean, he's starting to slip. The slip has started, okay? The slide has started. He's got to change his training regimen and say, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, this kid should be doing free weights, powerlifting, one station at a time, 10, 8, 6, 4 reps, and then going to get doing elongating sessions and
That was great.
That's Zoller Hardy. Who did it? Good.
That was my first Pauly call of the year.
I have to hang up on him every single day. So it's about time someone else gets to do it.
What was he gonna
okay,
do?
So Brady's on the power cleans. Power cleans.
The problem is there's no way to cut in there, Hardy, and do it cleanly.
Would you do add creatine to your diet?
Here's what you got to do. Tuesdays, Thursdays, back shoulder biceps. That's what I did in college.
Start with three sets of 12, 135, work your way up to 185.
What time are you going to be at Splitsville?
I won't be at Splitsville. I'll be at CBS Club for TV, 11:30 to 12.
And there's your opportunity to go hang out with Zoe.
You got 25 minutes right in there.
Nice.
Yeah, come on down and say hi.
Where are you going to be, Phil?
Maybe I will. I'm going to be at the Football Fix tonight, 6 o'clock.
Boom.
So
NBC Sports Boston.
All anybody out there needs to know. NBC Sports Boston.
852 if you got Xfinity Cable here in the Boston area.
Danielle Trotta. The numbers just continue to.
Oh, the ratings. Just monster ratings.
It's like our show.
Monster
ratings. We may peak during the bye because people are hungry. People need their fix.
We're the highest rated.
You're not going to get your fix this weekend, Hardy. You're not going to get it.
Believe we're the highest rated 6 o'clock football show on the station.
You got to be careful if you're not getting your fix for a while. You try and fix a little bit too much. Next thing,
I'm fixing
OD on football.
I'm fixing my lanterns Saturday.
Your what?
A couple exterior lanterns and new lanterns.
Lanterns.
I'm like a what?
Lanterns.
It's like a lanyard.
Exterior lanterns.
Yes,
affixed to the house
and at the end of the driveway. Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with them?
The other ones got old. They're small now.
Oh, you're putting new ones on.
Putting new ones on.
Nice. Oh,
I love wiring it. And bzz, bzz, drill. Mm-hmm. Cement drill.
Mm.
Cement drill.
What?
It's into the top of the pillars. Two little, four little pillars, like bolted into.
Okay.
So I need a.
You need a masonry.
I need
bit.
A cement bit.
You need a masonry bit.
Yep.
Channel one of that Lowe's. They got a bunch of DeWalt ones on sale right now.
I heard you picked up a couple.
Hardy and I have already hit the Lowe's in Quincy. Don't you worry. I've been there multiple
Clean
times in the
out?
Last week.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly 10% off right now, but if you hit the right aisle, you can get 20.
You cut the power before you go rewiring stuff?
Oh, hell yeah.
You only get it.
I don't trust the switch either. I'll go and cut it off the fuse box because my freaking luck. Well, I'll be there, and here comes my kid, and he's flipping all lights
on. Yeah, switch do anything.
Yeah.
Phil, good to see you. We'll see you tonight on Football Fix at 6 p.m. RJ Bell of pregame.com is coming up right after these headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.